1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Joseph O'Sullivan, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you now?
How are you, Joe? The wording on the ballot paper, so to speak, on referendum day in May will read, marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex. Can I be so bold as to begin and ask you, what way do you think you will be voting?
Oh, definitely no.
Why?
I think that marriage, the constitution on marriage and the family law at the moment is good. Mm-hmm. It's worked for the last 50, 60 years and there's nothing wrong with it. Now, my contention is, if you want to change something, let's change it for the better. So what advantage is it going to be to put the new legislation in place? Well, I think it's going to cause confusion, it's going to cause complications, and I don't think it's necessary.
So what's the confusion?
I think it's well known and well documented that the future of the childcare and welfare of children is mother, father, child. That's the best environment to bring a child up. It's not always done, unfortunately. But if we try to make an ideal as a standard, that is a standard that's in the Constitution at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have a change in the Constitution that says, no, man, woman, child, that no longer permeates, that no longer exists, we then have a whole level of confusion. And I think if we look at the case we had up in Belfast recently, whereby a baker was taken to court because he wouldn't write on a cake. Now, the only reason that happened was because the Constitution was changed. And the law was actually changed to say, sorry, you can't discriminate. So now we have a situation where you have a man, man, woman, woman, man, man, a woman. So take, for example, a teacher in school. She says, right now, children, let's draw a family. We'll have Daddy, Mammy and Baby John. And unfortunately, she's liable to be taken to court. You can't say that anymore. You can't say Mammy, Daddy and Child. You must say Mammy, Mammy, Baby.
Okay,
daddy,
so that's baby. Your confusion argument. What's your complication argument?
I suppose the complication is in children coming up. Why do they need to change? I mean, okay, if you have a same-sex couple, their concern is, I can understand, they want to be recognised as a couple, they want to declare their love as a couple, and that's great. But civil partnership will cover that. I mean, what has civil partnership not got than a marriage has? And my contention is the only thing is adoption and children. So my contention is, look, civil partnership, if people wish to be together in the same-sex mm-hmm. environment, civil partnership would cause that. Now, if you want to change the marriage constitution to state otherwise, you're now opening up a whole new can of worms.
And what's in
you're
that?
Now coming along to
well,
say, okay,
well, give me the permutations in that can of worms that you see.
Okay. You say, I suppose to have an analogy, you're pushing Humpty Dumpty off the shelf. Once the marriage as it is broken, mm-hmm. it can never be put back together as it is. So,
we're not talking about marriage being broken. We're talking about our understanding of marriage being expanded.
Why?
Isn't that it?
I mean, why do we need to expand marriage to include man, man, woman, woman, woman?
But why do you need civil partnership then?
Well, obviously, there's a whole series of legals, inheritance. I can understand
okay,
that
no,
a couple
I'm,
live together.
I'm trying. You mentioned earlier you believe one of the main differences in marriage and civil partnership. But by the way, single gay people can adopt a child or foster a child. It's just that they don't foster the child as a couple or adopt the child as a gay couple. But anyway, you say one of the issues for you, and it came up yesterday again, was adoption. Is adoption?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you have the situation.
And what are your worries in adoption?
So you have 10 couples going for adoption,
mm-hmm.
and two of the couples happen to be same sex.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the adoption societies have their own criteria for assessment.
Of course, yeah.
However, if they come along and say the person eligible for adoption is not a same sex couple,
mm-hmm.
they're going to leave this open to assume to they will then.
On what grounds?
The gay couple will come along and say, "Look, hang on, say we were eliminated from this because we were gay." In actual fact, the reality is that they weren't. But when we change the constitution,
well, then if they weren't, then if they weren't, surely that can be vindicated. They lose their case.
Well, of course they can, but it does ask the question, and it does put the question mark above the whole situation. Can we eliminate these people now? We must actually come along and say, no, it's not to do with the fact that you're a same-sex couple. You were eliminated from the adoption society
okay.
because
and
the
you
other couple
okay, well, and forgive me now if I'm taking it, and stop me if I'm taking it too far. Are you saying that in that situation that the adoption authorities might say, oh, hang on, both couples, same sex and mixed, so to speak, have got the same skills and same experience and same way of looking at the world and get on well, almost, you know, insofar as you can ever measure to relate. But you're saying all other things being equal, the adoption authorities might decide, oh, hang on, we give it to the gay, I know it might never arise given the low number of children up for adoption, but we'll let the gay couple adopt because we'd be afraid of being sued.
That's right. That's the contention that's going forward. Okay. And the same contention, okay. I say, like that man up in Belfast who actually, in a normal circumstances, you can put in the cake, if you're a baker, you can do what you like. You can take a job, you don't have to take a job. But he decided, no, I'm not going to take this job because I don't like the wording. And all of a sudden, it's not...
It was a wedding cake for a gay marriage, and he's been prosecuted under equality legislation. Now, stay there, exactly. Joseph. Let me bring in Michael. Michael is in Dublin 15, West Dublin. Go ahead, Michael. You're listening to Joe.
I was listening to Joe, and I suppose I would take an opposite view. I mean, I was yes in the referendum. I'm gay myself, Joe, and I suppose the kind of analogy that I use for this, you know, when people come along and say, well, why is civil mm-hmm. union not enough for them?
Yeah.
I suppose I equate a little bit like to the feminist movement, you know, where, you know, there was a time when women didn't work and weren't expected to work and then mm-hmm. weren't even allowed to work in certain circumstances. And then they were allowed to work. And I was just kind of thinking yesterday as I was listening to there was somebody on, but either way, I suppose I hear a lot of it, why isn't civil union enough? If say, it came along where there was a new law brought in where everyone was allowed to work, but women were going to be paid slightly less than men. So say if the minimum wage for men was €10 an hour,
okay.
and the minimum wage for women was €9.99 an hour.
Right.
Most people would say, well, isn't it nearly enough? I mean, there was a point when they couldn't work at all, and that's almost there, it's almost enough. I would say that most people would say, well, actually, that's not enough. And it's not about the money, because at the end of the day, it's only going to be the difference of 39 cents in the week. So it would be about an equality issue, and that's how I feel about it.
What do you think of that point, Joseph?
No, it's a totally different issue altogether. Because ultimately what we're not talking about is a gay man and a gay woman or a gay man in a gay relationship. We're actually talking about the rearing of children. And we have to establish what is the best environment for a child to be brought up. Now, is a man, I think, take it out of the Constitution altogether, the biological concept of a male must come together with female and a child is born. So biological concept, that must be the best environment for a child to grow up. Now, to come along and say, I'm going to put into the Constitution that the child does not have to have a man, woman as a parent. He may have two men or he may have two women. We're denying the child the right for what is proven to be the best environment to bring the child up. Now, of course, the argument is it doesn't always happen. You have grandparents and you have single parents and you have bereaved people. There's never a situation where everything is ideal. But I don't think we can put it in the Constitution that we're promoting anything less than the ideal.
Well, do you think people who are gay should be allowed to marry each other if they undertake not to have children?
No, they should be allowed to have a civil partnership. Because marriage by implication means everything that involves a marriage.
But surely at the minute they can, a gay couple can adopt, sorry, a gay individual in a gay couple can adopt or foster a child, isn't that correct?
Oh, that's
because
right.
A single
as an individual
person can.
They can adopt a
yes.
child. Like, no.
But surely the environment for the child would be strengthened if there was a commitment by two people, a legal commitment, by two people in the household rather than one.
Provided it's a man and a woman.
Provided it's a man and a woman.
Of course, yes.
Say that's not available.
Well, if it's not available by default, like I said, by bereavement or by single parent or whatever, yeah. Okay, we have to live with that and we have to accept those consequences and work around it. But we can never promote a situation where...
Okay, let me come with you another way, Joseph. Are you saying that it is for a child to be raised, okay, you say ideally man, woman, mother, father,
yeah.
ideally, and then man, woman, ideally, and then you say a single man or single woman, that's okay. But you're saying it's better to be raised by a single man on his own in a household than by two men who happen to be married in the same household?
I think so, yes.
You think so?
Okay. Oh, yes, yeah. Because, okay. Again,
what do you think of that, Michael?
The challenge, sorry, Joe. is it, the challenge is, I mean, all children are being born in all kinds of circumstances currently. And in lots of cases where children are born, male and female get together and have a child. And in a lot of situations, the male is not present in any event. No, the constitution and the referendums, none of them is going to change that situation. And it's not going to change anything about straight man, straight woman get together, have children. That's not going to be affected in any manner or form. But currently you have a situation where you may have a gay couple who are raising a child, and the child or children are adopted by one of the partners.
Yeah.
Now, if something happens to that partner, the child then who has been raised for any—I mean, could be well up into their teens—now don't have a legal guardian if that parent was to die of some sort, and this other parent who's been parenting them for 15 years.
Okay.
Well, stick high and dry.
Stick with that point, Joseph. How do you address that point? What happens to that child when the person who was on the adoption papers, who adopted them as a single person, unfortunately passes away?
Again, what I'm saying is we cannot legislate for misfortunes. We can only legislate and put forward directives for the ideal scenario. Now, what I'm saying is...
The ideal scenario is still there, and the ideal scenario, as you say... I mean, if you're calling the ideal scenario a man and woman get together and they have children, I mean, this referendum is not going to stop any of that, and on with it, you know.
But are we going to have a situation whereby, like I mentioned earlier, that a teacher in a class now decides you'll have a boy, a mummy, daddy, and baby Johnny? And I'm sorry, I'm going to take it to court. Yeah, if you can't put forward a proposal that the ideal family unit is mummy, daddy, baby, Johnny.
But I think but in fairness, would teachers not in this day and age be very conscious of saying, because of the fear of upsetting children whose parent may be dead, that they say there are many different types of family?
Of course, there's
If I can just ask Joe there on the line, I mean, the situation is already in the schools, Joe, where children are coming in who have both parents are male or both parents are female. And how fair do you think it is on them that they are excluded in a way? I mean, it's a bit like, you know, like I work as a school counsellor, I meet teenagers and young people in the schools all the time. And, you know, when it comes to, say, sex education, in the majority of schools in the country, sex education will only deal with straight sex, and that's what's taught. And so, you know, and oftentimes I'll have a chat with students that I work with who could be gay and ask them how they feel about that. Now, you see, the thing about it is being born gay is not a choice. Being born gay or straight is not a choice. I hear some people over there saying it is a choice or it's a lifestyle or something like that. But, you know, I would challenge anyone who thinks that it is a choice. I would challenge them to choose a different sexual orientation for a year, or to choose a different sexual orientation and see how that sits with them.
But Michael, just as you use the word choice, is that not the sting of what Joseph is saying? Is that, okay, there are unfortunate circumstances, parents die, widowed, go away, split up or whatever, and not every child is brought up in that quote unquote ideal situation, he says, of a man and a woman. But the different that's a situation where there is no choice for the child. But when the state intervenes, and in other words, the state has a correct and a strong and a caring hand in adoption and a regulatory hand in adoption, he's saying where the state intervenes, the state should take a position, and he believes the position the state should take, which is the ideal position, he believes, is a man-woman.
Well, you see, I hear Joe's point, and in a situation that adoption, that person who works for the agency, we just have to look at the merits of all of the couples who apply to have that adoption. And if you rule it out that it can only be a man and a woman, excuse me, I mean, in lots of situations, I see lots of very dysfunctional situations involving men and women. So you're actually ruling out a whole plethora of people from the possibility of giving that child a better home. Because if there's five couples apply for the adoption and none of them are suitable, well, what then does that adoption agency do? It gives it to one of them, the best choice, and that may not be in the best interest of the child.
Yes, but they can revert to legislation. The legislation or the family planning, so the family law at the moment states that they must choose the best option, which was always considered would be the man-woman environment.
Okay, stay there, Joseph. But let me bring 51551. Joe and Michael are saying, what is Carmel Power is in Waterford? Carmel, you're listening.
Yes, what, Joe. And, I'm here.
And your point, please.
It's a take a different turn now.
Okay, you're fine.
Yeah. Now, my original thing was marriage is between a man and a woman. That has been established. Mm-hmm. But I have no objection, I don't think anyone should have objected to same sex as being in a legal union, mm-hmm. I would call mm-hmm. it. And with all the benefits of that. In other words, they are recognised by the state. Leave religion out of it altogether.
Okay, legally and taxation
legally,
and social
they're okay,
welfare.
Everything
okay.
is. And why should anybody deny people their love for each other? Because love comes in many forms.
So when I read out the insertion that's proposed to be made into the Constitution, which reads, marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex.
Only thing I would object to there, Joe, is the word marriage.
So
not think the word marriage is suitable. All the definitions are between a man and a woman. Now, you've gone on to the adoption business.
No, Carmel, can I just... forgive me on this one. You say the only word you object to is marriage.
Is the word marriage.
But does that mean you would vote no?
I'm dithering, actually, Joe. I'm trying to balance out both arguments. But if that's what's going to come and if there's no alternative, I will vote yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. By the way, I should point out, yesterday, Catherine at the start of the programme made some very strong points. And I did ask her, again, what I asked you, Carmel, and Catherine, in fairness, said she did not indicate her intention to vote one way or the other. And I gave the impression earlier on, said it clearly, I thought she had told me what way she'd voted. But just to be clear, Catherine did not tell me, and I apologise to her, Catherine did not tell me.
She held back.
And she, but she, and you would now take the argument up about the word marriage. How would you change one of those 17 words to make it acceptable to you, to stop you dithering, as you say?
Legal union. It is a legal.
But that's there. But that's there already with civil partnership.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they're objecting to that, because they have all the privileges and all the law covers them completely.
Because it's Michael's line, and I'm paraphrasing it, and that is that 99 is not 100. Do you follow me?
But look, there are lots of things that are not quite 100% either, and people accept them.
Well, sorry if I can bring
that up. Well, I think it's a 99. Well, you see, it's not a 99, it's not 100% either, because a man and a woman is marriage. Two men and two women are not 100%.
That's the point.
That's the point, is that they're, you can't, they're not like with like.
Exactly.
And not like with like.
But you're not.
So I think 99% in this.
Well, maybe Michael will come in here. Michael, do you want to come in?
Yeah. Well, I suppose that is the point, Joe. It isn't 100%. And you know, and Carmel.
But you wanted 100%.
Of course, I do. No more than I think Carmel might take that analogy. If she was being paid $9.99 and somebody was being paid €10, she would feel somehow lesser. And as being gay is not a choice of how, why should I feel lesser than anybody else because of something I had absolutely no control over, that I was born gay, that's just the way it is, I accept that, why should I be discriminated against? And it is just about, and I mean, Carmel, I know what you said, that there's lots of places mm-hmm. in life where things aren't 100%, but it's up to each group to lobby for that. The way if women were paying $19.99, I would expect women to be lobbying for equality in relation to the pay or whatever it is that the discrimination is.
Well,
if it was about your skin colour, I would expect people, you know... Sorry,
the pay business. For years and years and years, I was doing the same work as the men in my job, but I was getting a hell of a lot less money.
And you campaigned for
that
to change.
Fair?
And when I stopped, when I got married, I couldn't go back to work.
And was that fair?
Well, that was the law. And you abided by it.
And should you just have accepted that?
Yeah, well, I'm a law-abiding person, and until it's changed, that's all you can do.
Well, it did change.
Well, it did change because people lobbied for it. And people saw that it was unfair. Yeah. And as long as they're fair.
For like with like, we're comparing like with like in the work. I'm talking about doing exactly the same work.
But like I say, Carmel, you didn't choose to be born female.
I know, love, I know.
So
I
why
didn't.
Should you be discriminated against based on something you couldn't choose and you had no hand actor part in?
Because it was the law of the land at the time.
And the law of the land currently is discriminating against me. That's why I'm on trying to ensure
well,
that I have equality.
I don't
that's
think you've been discriminated against at all. I think what you're doing is you're nearly making the case yourselves, because I think most people with any kind of rationale will acknowledge people. I mean, I have loads of friends. I have married friends as well. And I don't see any difference in them, only that they are two same-sex and they're in a union, which is fine. And I would never deny anybody love.
But there are 160-odd differences in the law between civil union and marriage.
And what are the main ones?
What are they then?
Well, I'm not a legal person. I don't know them all. But a lot of them have to do with children and various other things like that. But my sense is actually about marriage. Like, I'm in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for 16 years. We don't intend to have any children. We don't have a parental drive. That's perfectly fine. But so the whole issue around the whole children thing, I think, is a totally separate thing. But I don't see why my union should not be just as equal in marriage terms. You see, marriage, I think we get confused about whether that is some kind of thing belonging to the church or not. And it has nothing to do with the church.
It's
you
a
know,
state.
Church,
no,
I
said
totally
that. Leave religion out of it.
This issue. Yeah. No, I understand that, Carmel.
But Carmel, is this...
And so then that's why I don't know why, if we leave the church out of it, then why not call it marriage? What's the issue around that?
Because the definition of marriage...
Mike made the point, he wants to have 100%. He wants to know, why we're 99% there with the civil partnership. Why don't we get the extra 1% to be a marriage? Well, the reality is of life is, life is not 100%. I mean, I'm a man. I can't have a baby. No, I might as well get a bridge and climb over it. Like, no... I'm never going to be 100% able to have a baby.
But that's a biological argument. But the point that Michael is making, surely, that marriage is a legal act, recognised and enforced and regulated and administered by the state. Marriage is a legal act. Why should, this is Michael's argument, why should certain couples be disallowed from carrying through that legal act?
Because until research proves that the relationship of a child
I take the child argument, but in Michael's case, he said they've decided your case is the modern family, the couple in the modern in that TV series, Modern Family, who have adopted a child in the States. You know that TV series. Michael's, just to give you another angle on it, Michael and his partner have decided they don't want to be parents. They will not adopt a child or father a child through surrogacy or whatever. But you're denying them that legal option, which is available to every other couple.
Well, then is a civil partnership not sufficient then? The only addition from what I can read is the only addition that marriage is going to bring to a civil partnership is the adoption of children.
Okay, and the adoption of children, that is the difference that is going to make you vote no.
That's right.
Okay, stay.
Well, it's the welfare of the children. It's not just the option, it's the welfare. Because, I mean, the future generations, we have to protect them at this point in time. We can't come along and say we want to make a decision.
Carmel, just briefly before the break, though I will come back to you, Carmel, briefly, your point there. What were you going to say, sorry?
Well, I was just going to say, as regards adopting children, I think they're all entitled to adopt children. I'm not so happy when they father children or whatever, or women, because there's a third party involved.
Well, that's already happening.
Actually, I know. But the adoption part, I don't see why two men or two women couldn't bring up a child equally as a man and a woman, in as much as their love, once they're committed.
Okay, so Joseph...
There's plenty of men and women who don't bring up children correctly
I know that, Cameron, but you're saying is Joseph's point for voting... Joseph's main reason, it seems, for voting no, which is child welfare, he believes, and adoption, is not the main reason why you may vote no.
No. It wouldn't be.
And the main reason you are tending towards voting no is...
The terminology.
Okay, say what is 51551. In 51551. Jerry, you're listening to Joseph in particular. Go ahead, Jerry in Colester.
Hi, Joe. I've been listening to the debate over the last number of weeks. And I just feel that the issue of children and adoption and parenting It's been brought up a lot, and I feel it's been used to confuse the issue. The question on marriage equality is, can two people of the same sex get married? Separately, there is a bill regarding the adoption of children. So, in my view, if that bill's legislated for, and a gay couple can adopt children, surely allowing them then to marry will just enhance the position of those children, because they'll have a committed relationship between their parents.
Joseph?
But that's the point, they won't. Because parents, by biology, means man, woman, child. If it's two men,
but Joseph, if the bill is legislated for, which it looks like it will be, two men will be allowed to adopt a child. Therefore, they will be that child's parents. That's after adoption, you become the parents of the child. But yet, you don't want them to be allowed to marry each other. So you're allowing two single people commit to a child, but not to each other. No, surely it's an enhancement of the situation and a building of a family unit to allow those two men or two women to marry each other.
No, I think it would be diminishing the marriage at this moment. The marriage at the moment is, in the Constitution and in the family law, states a man and woman and child. Now, if you dilute that, or if you change that, or if you make amendments to that, you're breaking what's already in place and what already works.
But the bill is going to... Then your problem is with the bill, not with marriage equality. Your problem must be with the adoption, the new bill that will allow two people of the same sex adopt as a couple. Because that bill will allow them adopt whether they're married or not. So if you have a problem with the bill, fine. If you have a problem with marriage of two people of the same sex, well, then say that's what your problem is.
But, Jerry, is it not fair to say, Jerry, that if you inserted what you were suggesting, what you think would satisfy Joseph into the child and family law relationships bill.
Oh, no, Joe, don't get me wrong. I know you're not advocating this.
But if you inserted, if you're saying Joseph's problem was with the bill, that's due to...
But it sounds like it's with the bill.
Okay, but the point is, if the Constitution supersedes all other law, and if you inserted something like that in the bill and the referendum was passed, the bill would be struck down as being unconstitutional, because you're discriminating in certain ways, in certain rights, against certain married couples.
No, but that's not what I'm suggesting at all. I'm saying that if the bill goes ahead, what Joseph doesn't want to happen will happen. Two men will adopt a child, but yet he doesn't want to let them get married.
Well, if the Constitution or the new bill supersedes that, then why do you want to get married? Why do you want to call a civil partnership a marriage?
Because I want to be equal to my seven brothers and sisters.
What if you're not got equal now that you would have if you were married?
I can't get married. In the civil law, I can't get married. They can get married. I know straight couples who get married and don't have children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they do that in the church, actually. Now, we're talking about civil marriage. There's no rule that if you get married, you have to have children.
What I'm saying is, a civil partnership covers same-sex engagement and same-sex expression of love.
I think the gentleman that was on before me was very eloquent in explaining that almost equal isn't equal.
Okay, 99 is not 100. Joseph, no. to put the point again that Jerry put to you, that is that surely it is better for two men or same-sex couple, two men or two women, to actually adopt a child and make a commitment legally that both of them are legally responsible for that child, than have only one person commit to adopting and rearing, etc., that child. Isn't that one of your points, Jerry?
It goes further than that. At the moment, I'm a gay man, so at the moment I can adopt a child.
Yeah, exactly.
After the bill, two men together, or two women together, will be allowed to adopt a child, and they don't even have to commit to each other.
Okay, I take your point, but the Constitution should not have written into it.
Why not?
Because the ideal for each child, the ideal environment, the ideal scenario for bringing a child up is father, mother, child. That is the ideal, and something we should strive for.
This argument is coming up a lot, okay? And what I don't understand, because clearly as a gay man, you will think I have a vested interest in this, I try to understand both sides of the argument. at the moment, this is happening. People are you're not suggesting that we, you know, it's illegal that people should have children outside traditional marriage. So no. all the new constitutional amendment does is it strengthens the relationship between two people who are going to do this anyway.
Okay, so we should accept such a default environment. We should never promote it.
But Joseph, by allowing it, are you promoting it? Is that your view?
No, there's an acceptance, there's tolerance, acceptance and promotion. So we tolerate it, then we accept it, and then we promote it.
Maybe that's the crux of the issue there, Joseph. Maybe you just want to tolerate us. Is that what the position? Do you just want to tolerate gay couples who have children?
No, I think tolerate us is a kind of a derogatory term. What I'm saying is we should tolerate an environment whereby if a partner dies, we then have to accept that one partner will bring the child up. We have to tolerate an environment if it's a broken marriage. That is not ideal,
I don't accept position families should be tolerated because they don't follow your traditional views.
No, I said accept. We accept that what nature hands out, we have to accept it, whether it's bereavement or whether it's broken marriage or whatever. We should never have in our constitution that this is the norm, this is the best way for bringing children up. The children of the future are entitled to have the best that we can give them, the best we can offer them. We have a responsibility to make sure the children of the future...
That's the other point I don't understand, Joseph. Maybe you can explain this to me. A number of commentators have said children have the right to a father and a mother.
Yes.
Now, I think perhaps there's one argument they have a right to know their father and mother. But if you're a single parent who has a single lady, for instance, who has a child, and perhaps you've never met the father, you never see the father again, and you don't know who the father is, that child didn't have a right to a father.
But then we have to accept that environment, and we do as much as we can to help them.
Yes, so therefore the idea of a right is quite definitive, but lots of children don't have a right to both parents. So I don't understand the argument that children have this right, which clearly in modern society not all children have both their parents.
Well, I think future generations deserve to have the best environment possible. Now, if we come along and say, look, the best environment for the generation past was mother, father, child, the new environment says, no, you have two daddies and no mammy. Or you don't know who your mammy is, or you might know who your mammy is, or she might be in the life, she may not be in your life. You may spend your life going through it knowing, do I have brothers and sisters? Do I have a whole cluster of people that are related to me, blood related, and I don't know about them? Issue, but right is the term I think that I would use anyway.
I think there are different types of family units. I don't believe for a second a man and a woman will stop having children or stop getting married because we are normalising the situation for families where their parents are of the same sex. I think that's just an enhancement to society. I don't believe in any way it will reduce or undermine or remove any of the values that you feel society has. In fact, I think it's an added value.
Stay with that for a sec. Jennifer Clune. Jennifer, your point, please.
Hello, I'm nervous now ringing in.
Take your time.
No, I rang in because... I want my children or grandchildren or whoever want them to have the same rights as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this day and age, this should have been brought in years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody is entitled to the same rights in this day and age.
But distilling Joseph's point down to an example, and he agreed, and he can calibrate this if he wishes, but he agreed with the proposition from me that he believes that if a single person adopts a child, and if they adopt a child with another person, but who are not married, he believes that it is better for that child to simply be adopted or to be singly be adopted by one person rather than by two gay people. That is his point. Now, if it comes down to that, how do you respond, Jennifer?
Well, I think in this day and age, families are so different and they're made up of single parent families,
And Joseph's retort is, "This I know that, but I want the state to aspire for the ideal, and I believe the ideal is man-woman. Do you believe, Jennifer, the ideal is man-woman?"
Well, the ideal, I think, the ideal is... Right, I'm in that position where I'm married, I live with my husband, I have two children. I don't have the ideal. I just try my best every day.
Okay.
I think that's what everybody as a parent should be doing, trying their best for their children. And I think that includes that any children or grandchildren that they have the same rights as every other child out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we should be all, we all try our best. And
Joe?
Hello.
No, your grand. Finish, Jennifer. No, finish. I'll let.
I think we should just, as parents, we all just try our best. There are no ideals, but I think the ideal would be to for everybody to have the same rights in this day and age.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's the Joseph. Do you, who wanted to respond there? Sorry,
was it's Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah, Jerry. Oh, go ahead, Jerry.
I just want to thank Jennifer for that contribution. But yet again, the conversation now. How long are you on? An hour is about children. And I know that it's not completely distinct. I know there are knock-on effects or perceived knock-on effects, but in my view, the government have done a great job in presenting a constitutional amendment that is simply about love and equality for two people.
Exactly.
Basically, my story is I have seven brothers and sisters. Some are married, some aren't. Some have children, some don't. And the only difference between them and me is they can get married. I can't get married. And that, to me, has nothing to do with children. I didn't think this would mean
I never text in, but why I texted in was because the children and the adoption thing was being brought up. And I do believe that if there is a couple, whether they are same-sex couple, want to bring some happiness to a child, I think that's great. But as a mother, I would like my children and my grandchildren, if they are in love with someone, to be able to marry them. That's, you know what I mean?
Okay, and then the other side of that, when you mentioned the word mother, others would say, isn't every child should, in an ideal world, have access to a mother, to their mother, know their mother, be, if available, be reared by their mother. Isn't that one of the stings of the opposition to this referendum that they're saying?
Yeah, but that's the opposition to the bill, Joe, not the
You see, I take that point. But remember, the when you insert, which is Joseph's point and the people who are against this, when you insert this new section into the Constitution, it supersedes every bill.
Say the amendment falls. Say the marriage equality referendum fails, and it's not inserted in the Constitution. The legislation for adoption by two same-sex couple will stand.
I know, but you know, that very point, Jerry, can be used by people who oppose your position to say vote no on the referendum.
Difference to their basic argument that two men will be allowed to adopt. All they'll do is leave themselves in a position where two men can adopt but not commit to each other.
Say that men can't. I know plenty of men who would be as loving to their children as their mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like a mother brings a loving side to a relationship with a child, but so does the father. Like there are plenty of fathers out there that are very loving and supportive to their children.
Okay. And Joseph, do you at all accept Jerry's point, which you just made again there, that the child, the new bill will allow two men to adopt, and what the new constitutional amendment will do is add to that by strengthening legally, and in terms of rights, responsibilities and obligations, that will strengthen legally that position, that link between those two men, surely that can only benefit the child.
Well, but putting a marriage certificate in front of it is not going to make any difference. That civil relationship is already there. So,
Joseph, in my case, should I be lucky enough to meet somebody and fall in love, I'd like to get married. I don't want to have children. That's okay. My position at the moment, and I can't imagine that would change because I'm in my 40s.
Okay. Well, that goes back to my...
Like my brothers and sisters, you have a problem with me committing to someone and having a civil marriage. Forget about children for a minute. Civil marriage, I said, not a civil partnership. Civil marriage.
It goes back to my original point. The marriage constitution is already there. Now, if we're going to start changing it, and okay, we'll change the argument completely. We're going to change the marriage, the constitution, because we want to take into account two people love each other. So now, all of a sudden, two people love each other, whether it's man or woman, woman or man, whatever. Two people love each other, and they want to be recognised with a marriage certificate. Mm-hmm. So we're going to change the thing that's already there. So what's going to change in 2 years' time when I happen to love two women? And I say, oh, I love these women. These are my love of my life. I can't be without them. I must love these women. I want to marry these two women.
Deal with that issue if that ever comes up. Can we please deal with the issue that's here now, which is two people?
Okay.
It says two people. If you want to deal with polygamy, you go ahead in the future and deal with that. But can we please deal with the issue of two? But the constitution changes all the time. Society changes all the time. Attitudes change. Beliefs change. People's values change all the time.
And let's change it for the better.
Change for the better. You couldn't have a more equal or fair society where two people of the same sex can commit to each other in love. And if after that they decide to adopt children, well, now they're committed to each other and then committed to their children. I think that's a far better place to be than two single people adopting a child.
And Jerry...
Okay, well, let's take the scenario that, okay, two men marry, they have a child... go through the full legal requirements, like no, and then for whatever reason, there's break up. Who's responsible for the child?
Well, what happens when a man and woman breaks up?
In an adoption
the woman
scenario.
Only takes the woman by the,
not necessarily.
Well, I presume they can go to court, and the man could get the custody of the child, depending on the circumstances.
That's true. So that's what I'm saying. These are the scenarios that we have to take into account.
Yeah, and I think what we're doing now with this, what the government's trying to do with this amendment and the supporters of this amendment are trying, is take into account what's happening and make it better.
But we must examine the consequences. What exactly will happen if?
Okay, but Joseph Joseph and Jerry is one point here. Jerry is saying that the vote for this amendment is to expand rights. Jerry is saying to vote for it is to dilute rights. Is that correct?
No, Jerry is saying to expand.
Yes, Jerry is saying to expand. Joseph is saying it would dilute.
Yeah.
Okay, say what it's 51551. 51551, text Brendan in Wicklow. Brendan, your point, please.
Yeah, Joe, I think my point would really be that I'd be worried about some of the unintended consequences if this thing goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, somebody on your show has already mentioned that the pressure the baker was put under in the north because he wouldn't put a gay slogan on a cake. And then there'd be things like, I know in England when the law has changed, some of the faith-based adoption agencies shut down because their ethos wouldn't allow them to be forced to place children with gay couples because they're against their ethos. So I'd be
that they wouldn't,
that
they wouldn't consider gay couples as candidates.
Well, yeah, I suppose the faith-based organisations would regard that as wrong, so they wouldn't do it. But because the law had changed, they were either forced to shut down or do it, and some of them did shut down, I know, in England. So it's this kind of thing that I don't know has the thing been thought out well enough, you know?
It's the unforeseen implications.
Yeah, and like in the debate in the last week, now maybe I wasn't listening carefully enough before that, but in the debate in the last week, the idea has been coming up that because if the law is changed, therefore nothing else in any other law can favour the sort of mother-father model, if you like, and even in terms of teaching or, I don't know, somebody out in the street preaching from the Bible or whatever else, that there can be no favouring by the state of the mother-father model, which I think is ideally the best one. So therefore, it's going to be, like, I think that there's going to be problems down the line.
And what might they be? I take your point about Catholic adoption agencies, because because a married couple... if the referendum pass means any two people who have contracted this marriage, this legal relationship. So you can't say one married couple is different to another married couple.
You can't. That's, okay. Favour one over the other.
Okay, but what are the other unforeseen consequences, do you think?
Well, we create the case of our debate, and I won't go into that again, but let's say, for example, now people say in terms of the church that the churches can carry on with their own marriage rules and so on and so forth, but I could foresee, and I've read, can't find it at the minute, but I've read cases where the churches will be under pressure in society to follow the state law. And in other words, I don't know if somebody wants to hire a church hall for the reception of same-sex marriage, and the church is reluctant, understandably, I suppose, and therefore they'll be under pressure under equality legislation and so on. So I think the idea that the church or churches can continue to work their own systems is not sure. Okay. I think there will be pressure coming on them as well to conform.
If a church hall puts up a sign saying the hall is available for weddings, which would be on a lot of them at the minute or whatever, you're saying if they wanted to put up a, after the referendum, if it's passed, if they wanted to put up a sign and they said available for weddings only to men and people of the opposite sex who are getting married, they would be taken to court.
Well, there might be, but I don't think anyone is going to stick up a sign like that. It just might be.
Isn't that what, you know, it's these little things, so to speak, that people latch onto, and these unintended complications are implications. Let me bring Jim in. Jim, good afternoon. Thanks,
good afternoon,
Brendan.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your point, Jim, Dublin, please.
I gather this may have been dealt with yesterday when I wasn't listening to the programme. The fundamental thing about marriage, as we all know from historically, is a union between a man and a woman, which should, if it's not already in law, should be defined as between such a union from which children may be conceived. Mm-hmm. Civil partners of same sex, if they were to be married, cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And I see it's just something down the road, if it's put in the Constitution, of which I'm a devotee, will cause problems. The simplest solution is to define what marriage is, as I've just said, and equally to give to any same-sex couple, any loving couple in a same-sex relationship who are in a legal civil partnership, have exactly the same legal rights as those who are a married heterosexual couple.
So then why not? I take that point, but is that not what the referendum, the constitutional proposal will do when it says marriage may be contracted in accordance with law, i.e. all the stipulations and 3 months' notice by two persons without distinction as to their sex?
Yeah, there is no need to put it into the Constitution if what I suggest is done.
But you're basically supporting civil partnership.
It's not whether I support or I don't. If we already have civil partnership, which is you don't have to be married in a church, you can have a civil partnership. It's legal. What happens in a church is a legal requirement,
and that's nothing to do with this
referendum. Before the registrar,
but it's nothing to do with this referendum.
Which marriage?
Marriage in a church.
No. I'm saying in a church, that's if someone wants to be married in your church, it's fine. All that happens is the priest or the minister
acts as a state registrar.
It's the registrar for the purpose of the law.
State registrar, yes. It's an addition to their job, to their role.
I haven't heard the response to saying if marriage is if it's not already defined, can be defined as what we have all understood it for centuries to be, a marriage between. It's in the dictionary as well, so they'll have to change dictionaries. Dictionary says it's marriage is a union between a man and a woman, usually recognized in law. And if it's not recognized, it should be recognized in law as a marriage is a legal union between a man and a woman.
And the proposal is
If it's not in a man and woman, then it's not a marriage. It can be called anything you like.
So
a wedded couple.
So you're clearly voting no.
Oh, I certainly voting no. Largely because I don't want it messing up the Constitution, which
the Constitution
we're
since
doing.
The 1937 Constitution has been cut and pasted.
I could talk to you
yes,
for hours.
Yes, but it has been.
And Joe,
been,
I could talk to you for hours.
But I know, Jim, but it's been cut and pasted by the electorate.
Yeah.
democratically. That's the only way it can be cut.
Of course, it has.
You can't say you have a great fealty to the Constitution.
No, I use the word devotee, not devotee.
When it's constantly changing.
If the people change it. All we're doing now is, this is what the debate is all about.
Will your devotion to the Constitution change if this amendment is inserted?
Not at all. It won't change at all. If it's inserted, I'd abide by what the people say. I could talk to you on other matters I've tried to change.
And what about briefly the argument which Jerry brought up, or someone I used the phrase eventually, 99 is not 100.
I didn't hear that bit of it.
You know, the civil partnership, if you say, why aren't they happy with civil partnership? It is because 99 is not 100.
But a same-sex couple are not the same as what we understand for historical reasons. And I don't know if it's in law. If the law says somewhere and has for centuries recognised, it's a legal union between a man and a woman.
Okay, but you're also saying a same-sex couple. You mentioned children again. Are you saying that a same-sex couple cannot as successfully rear a child? I'm asking a question. Sorry.
I'm not entering that territory at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying I'm happy that they can be given. I'm just on the narrow point of there's no need to put it in the Constitution. I don't see why, if they want exactly the same rights, the same as if we have people who come in and are made citizens of the country, who have exactly the same legal rights, but they don't change their ethnic thing from being Asian to be European, to be American, to be etc.
Yeah, okay, I just need to balance it again. But is that not the point? I think Jerry is gone. But is that not the point that Jerry was making? That's exactly what we are looking for, the same legal rights.
Yeah, but that can be done legally.
Well, it is, and the Constitution is the highest legal document in the country. It cannot be superseded.
But there's no need to go in because what will end?
It does need to go in. The opposition would say it does need to go in because at the moment we're discriminated against.
In what way?
In that two men and two women cannot get married in the current constitution.
Well, two men and two women can't have children.
No, but that's not in the constitution.
No, you could.
That's life. That's life.
They make a personal choice to be a union of two gay people.
Okay, well,
I've no problem with that.
Okay, Jim, if you stay with us, I'll let other people put those arguments. 51551. Anne O'Carroll is in the Berlin Peninsula. Anne, your point, please.
Well, I have a couple of points here, and I've been listening to this debate for an awfully long time because I teach family law to community groups and so on across the country for the last 20 years. And I've been hearing exactly this type of under-informed debate for years about divorce. We'll all end up like California. That didn't happen. Total upset about decriminalising homosexuality in 93. Lo and behold, the world didn't end. All kinds of hysteria about civil partnership and how this would undermine the family and how the whole of Irish fabric of society would fall apart. That didn't happen. And I'm really hoping that in a year's time that you're talking to me again and we're saying, what was all that fuss about?
Okay, well, tell us what your arguments are then, please.
Well, first of all, there's some really gaping holes in the debate, and people who are against equality legislation are making this assertion over and over again and never being challenged. They're saying a child has a right to know their mum and dad. Now, I know dozens of people who are friends of mine who are gay and lesbian and who have children, and three out of four of those kids know exactly who their mum is and know exactly who their dad is and have very good, warm and loving relationships with both their mother and their father. It just so happens that they're being raised by a same-sex couple, so they can point to someone and say, that's my mammy. I grew in her tummy, and that's my mum. She lives with my mammy and they look after me. And that's my daddy over there, and he comes every weekend to see us and we go on holidays with him and I love him, and that's daddy's boyfriend. Children have much more cop on about these things than adults. Adults are getting completely incensed and outraged about some weird, bizarre, surreal kind of fictional world in which children are being brought up by same-sex couples, and it's all very strange and terrible and horrible. The children who are living this as an everyday reality are warm, secure, loved children, and they have no problem with it whatsoever. And I think who we really need to be hearing from are the adult children who grew up in a same-sex union, and we need to be hearing from them about what their experience
I've heard them on a number of programmes, yeah.
Yeah, and I have too, and most of them said, I didn't have any problem with it. And sometimes children, one of the kids that I know, it was an assisted reproduction situation. So, of course, it was a donated egg and sperm, so, of course, she would have to go through, you know, further down the line when she's an adult, whatever procedure that will come in to find out who her biological parents are, if she's interested. And some of the kids that I've heard of who were the products of assisted reproduction said, well, you know, I know my dad, I have a dad out there somewhere, but actually I'm not that interested, because people seem to think that children exist in some sort of weird single-sex vacuum. But that's not the case. They have brothers, they have sisters, they have granddads and uncles. And people get love and care and parenting from people of both sexes, and I do think that that is important. But this presumption that a child who's being brought up in a same-sex, by a same-sex couple, will not know their mother or their father is poppycock. It's certainly not my personal experience. And I think a lot of people who are getting very incensed about this, and I understand and I absolutely agree that they're coming from, you know, a genuine place, but they're coming from a place of ignorance, because I'm sure most of these people do not have an ongoing relationship with people for whom that is a day-to-day, everyday reality. And if they did, they'd know that really we're getting upset about nothing. If children are cared for and loved and brought up in a good way, that's what's important, and that's where we have fallen down as a society in this country, and that's what we should be looking at. And irrespective of whether their parents are a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man, I think there's an awful lot of hysteria here.
And you're conscious that there were two divorce referendums and the first one failed.
Exactly. And, you know, no, your researcher asked me earlier on, do you think this is going to pass? And I said, well, I don't know if this next one is going to pass, but it will. The one after that definitely will, because it's a long, slow train.
Okay, Eimear, stay there on, Anna Carl. Eimear is listening in Galway. Your point, Eimear, please.
Hi. Just talking to Anne there, and she was talking about people like me coming from a place of ignorance. Well, I'm actually coming on here as a mother of three little girls, and while I have a fantastic husband who's a wonderful father, he's just not a mother. And when my children are sick in the middle of the night, they don't call daddy usually. I mean, he's fantastic and everything, they want mommy. And for me as a mother, to think that a little girl or a little boy, but even so, more so a little girl, could be adopted by two men, I don't care whether they're gay or straight, that has nothing to do with it, even two straight men. It's not about their sexuality. It's about the deliberate denying of a little girl or a little boy to have a mommy and a daddy. And I know parents die and parents get separated, but that's an unfortunate tragedy for the child. It's not a deliberate, it's not by design. And there are only two ways how gay people can have a child, and it's either by adoption or by surrogacy. And marriage copper fastens their right to get a hold of children. I don't mean that in a flippant way, but you know, we should be looking at this from the point of view of the child. It's the biggest social experiment on children since time has begun. And it shouldn't be about LGBT rights. They should come further down the line. Children's welfare should always trump LGBT rights. And even we see it, you know, when they're talking about blood donation. I mean, if my child, God forbid, needed to get blood, I would be so worried if it was from an at-risk group. And I mean, I think that they should be mindful of that. Donors should also always, and they usually always have, the welfare of the recipient, you know, as paramount, and not their rights. And it just kind of, the more I listen to this debate, the more I'm struck by it's kind of like, it's my right to have a child, and it's my right to be a blood donor, and it's all these rights. But I mean, there's a lot of things I would like in life.
Well, nobody has a right. Nobody has a right to have a child in that sense. Nobody has a right to adopt a child either. There's things you have to, a number of significant hurdles you have to go through. Anne, how do you respond to Eimear?
First of all, that's a problem there. This lady said that the only way to have a child is by adoption or surrogacy. That's not the case. This is what I'm talking about. This kind of
how
idea
else
that
do they have them?
Well, that,
explain
for example,
to me how you can have them.
Friends that I have, one is a gay man and the other is a lesbian woman, and they're both in relationships and they both wanted to have children. And so with assisted reproduction, they had children together, and these children are their children. They know that they're the dad of the child, and the children know this is my daddy, this is my mummy, and they see each other on a regular basis. They all go on holidays together. They have a really warm and loving relationship. And those children, unlike you, don't have a problem with their situation. And I'm just saying that you said it's a terrible thing that the little girl wouldn't have her mummy. But that's from your own personal perspective. You haven't lived in that situation. And these children don't seem to have these problems. They're being pinned onto them by other people.
We don't know yet. I do know.
I've known these children since they were born. And now in their teens.
That's not even late enough. There are children in America who are suing the state now because they have been brought up by gay parents. And they have been denied the access to a mother or a father. And they said that they never knew their mother or their father. And to deny a child early on...
Child who's adopted, and I really think that children should. I think it's very important, and that lady has raised a good point. I think it's vitally important that anyone be able to find their link to their biological parents.
That's a separate campaign, and has a lot of support.
It's all about the children, Joe. Gay marriage is all about children, and women and men are not equal. You know, there's no way that women and men are ever going to be equal. We're not equal. You know, this whole thing of marriage equality.
But is it not the argument? You should be equal in the eyes of the law.
It should be fairness. I'm not equal to my husband. I'm not equal to a man.
But you are equal in the eyes of the law.
Legal fairness is what is the terminology that should be used, not equality. Because, I mean...
Can I just take that example you gave and ask Anne to address it? And no matter how... difficult you find it. Eimear's point about the child crying in the middle of the night calls for mammy.
Well, her child called for mammy because she was raised by mammy and a daddy, and probably mammy was the primary caregiver.
Yes.
But in any situation, I mean, you have a dad.
But can never say mommy if they never have a mommy.
I'm just been saying to you three or four times. Most of the children that I know in these situations, they have a mummy and they have a daddy, and they'll call out for their primary caregiver, whoever that may be.
But if it's two gay men, Anne, who is the mummy?
Well, the mummy is the person who gave birth to them, and in the situations that I'm telling you about, the children that I know exactly who their mummy is.
Yeah, but they don't. But you're saying the only way they can call mummy in the middle of the night is picking up the mobile phone.
That's the situation with children who live with their dads who are separated. But I think we're getting away from the thing that this is actually already happening. We are not creating legislation.
And it's not about, you know, this legislation is not about grandparents' rights. It's about LGBT rights. And, you know, they're pushing for rights.
It's about the rights of children who are being raised by gay and lesbian couples. And if the biological parent dies in that couple, the other parent has absolutely no right to look after those children.
What about the commissioning of children by surrogacy? Those children aren't born yet, and we're going to pave the way for these children to come in to a same-sex relationship.
That is a very good topic, and that is a topic for the next piece of legislation which is coming in. It does not have anything to do with marriage equality.
It absolutely has everything to do with it. Everything to do with it, because the copper fastens rights, and you know that as well as I do.
But Eimear, the child and family, the new bill is coming in, child and family relationships bill, we are told, will allow for two men as a couple, as two people together adopt. So the referendum, so if that comes in, and by the way,
there's great dishonesty about that legislation, Joe, and they're trying to say it's all about grandparents, and it's nothing to do with that. It's all about LGBT rights. It's all about gay people.
Stay with us. 51551. Stay with us. Fine, please.
Hi, Joe. I just kind of wanted to make a point about this whole child situation, and it seems to keep coming up that people are bringing up this kind of idea of an ideal environment for children, which is, you know, the mother and the father and the child. But I study psychology now for 2 years, and we do quite a lot on development of children. And basically, the environment of the child with the parents only matters that it's caring. It's been shown that it doesn't really matter whether it's a single parent or same-sex parents or anything.
Eimear, how do you respond to that?
Well, to be honest, the easiest way to study children is to look at your own, I suppose. You know, you can look at every kind of study, and I don't know how statistically significant your study could have been, because where did you get
It's not my study. There's a lot of studies showing this going back quite a while.
how many years, and what was the sample group? What was the size?
Okay,
sample
we won't get into
this. No, it's not one particular study.
Come back.
Study.
Okay, we won't get into throwing these very expensive psychology books at each other. But Owen, what is your opinion?
In my opinion, I have no problem with it whatsoever. In particular, for the marriage referendum, it should absolutely be a yes. And I think this child debate is a debate for another day as well. Yeah. But it kind of seems to be becoming the focus of this marriage debate as well, which I think is wrong as well.
Why is this legislation being rammed through so quickly before May? Don't tell me that's a coincidence.
Because
I think there's a lot of innocence around this and naivety. I mean, it's all
because
about
the, but the argument, Emma, surely is that the legislation will update the law but also bring clarity to some of the issues that are being raised now.
Can I raise one of the issues that does come up?
Yeah, briefly, Anne. Yes.
For kids who are in same-sex unions, if the biological parent dies, the other parent has absolutely no right to continue taking care of that child and to continue parenting that child because they're not married to one another. And if the non-biological parent wants to leave money to the children who they have co-reared with the co-parent, they would be hammered with a really high tax because they're not recognised as being their children as well.
They're brushed there again.
Okay, fine, Sorry, Emer, what you said. Sorry, your quick point.
There are always two biological parents, but one seems to be airbrushed in this debate.
Okay. 51551 continues. Michael Alves, the BCO, Ailish O'Shea, and Rona Lawler, the researchers, Kieran Dunn on sound, Siobhan Hawk is the series producer, Tim Desmond produce, and thanks indeed to all our callers today, sincerely. And Marty Morrissey is next.